This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Minas.
Good morning. It is 7 o'clock here on a Saturday here on WGR Sports Radio 550. It is Tee to Green, your local spot for golf talk every Saturday here in Western New York. This week, we are in Akron at the Links at Ivy Ridge. And we're out on the patio here getting a great view of the 9th and the 18th and the practice green as we welcome you in here on WGR. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Midas. Lots to get to here over the course of the next hour. We're only two shows to go here in our season. It's the last week of the PGA Tour season, the FedEx Cup playoffs wrapping up this week with the Tour Championship. We'll have a lot on that here coming up and a lot of good nuggets coming out at Eastlake this week, and we'll discuss quite a few of them. We'll get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, our Absolute Care Check of the Champions Tour, and lots more, and also more information on our Tee to Green Club giveaway. But let's say good morning here to our panel. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Great to be out here. I can't believe I haven't played here this year. This place is awesome.
Yeah.
Good point, Jeff.
That's right. We're talking the math the just says it's really impossible that you have.
It's the random.
Man, you know what? Listen, this show requires research. My job requires research.
You work harder than anybody else.
Thank you. I appreciate. Well, I know people work harder than me, but what's really cool here as we sit on the patio between the 9th and 18th greens, there's a pond that separates them, and you see the fog just gently rolling across here. Really cool.
Beautiful early autumnal feel to the air.
Yes.
I see. This is the term dew sweepers came from. Yeah, the early players. And, beautiful morning. Nice patio. It's just a great day to play golf.
Yeah. And aesthetically, in terms of just the eyes here, you get to see a lot of the golf course, Kevin. That's something that I know that even the trend in people now when they're changing golf courses or updating or doing things like, the more of the golf course you can see, a lot of people like that look, and we get to see quite a bit here from the patio.
Well, you know, what else is great is, you know, the name describes the golf course. It is mostly links. There are some Parkland-style holes in here, but it's got that linksy, you know, look and feel with the dunes. Anybody who's been over to Ireland, been over to Scotland to play, it has this kind of look, little rolling mounds with a fescue on it that's grown up here. I remember when they first opened.
Was it? How long have they been open?
It's
a relatively new facility.
He said,
is it close
90s,
to 90s?
Like mid-90s it opened up, right?
Yeah, I want to say close to 50. It might be 20 now.
Yeah.
Gary Battistoni and I played here the first day they opened, and the winds were like 30 miles per hour.
Tough place to play when it's windy.
The first tee shot, and they've since flipped the nines, but it was dead into a wind, and I just could get my hand away at the shot. You know,
hit it well.
Just nice and low to get it up there, and it was great. This golf course, and that's the beauty of the wind, gives you the experience to play. One of my favorite things we did here, and we did this for television, the TD Green television show many years, probably 10 years ago we did this. We went out to what is hole 8 and 100 balls.
The par
3.
Yep.
Pin was in front. It's got two tiers in the green. Just want to see, all right, you know, 100 shots, can you get a hole in one?
I hope you fix those ball marks.
How close?
I'm sure the greenskeepers appreciate all those marks.
Well, the way we did it, I didn't just bang 100 in a row.
Right.
You know, we did 20, you know, go clean get them, come back, you know, pick them up. But it was – a fun thing to do. It was hard because, you know, you're missing. So now you're trying different things. You're not, you know, oh, that didn't work. I'm going to try this swing, that swing. It was fun. Yeah. And they were cool enough to let me do it, too. They said, yeah, okay, that's fine. You know, just fix the ball marks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't hit, by the way, I didn't hit the green 100 times.
What?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that incredible?
That was a long time ago. Now you would.
No,
I probably wouldn't.
I think as you described it, it's unique to Western New York. I mean, obviously, it's for those of us that don't play maybe as much in the Southern Tier or the Southern places, like this is – it's pretty flat, and this course has those subtle ridges and hills and mounds and everything that I think give you some different looks. And
you can see a long way here too.
Yeah,
yeah. So like because the trees aren't separating all the holes, you can see, and that's why you get a lot of wind too.
Yeah.
Well, let's be honest. So what they did, you know, prior to Lynx at Ivy Ridge, and a couple of courses that are out this way. Glen Oak was the premier public golf course.
Still is.
I was going to get there, Jeff. But you know, if you didn't belong to a club and you wanted to play a upper echelon public facility,
yep,
it was Glen Oak, right? Other than that, you were playing municipals, and you know they do a fine job at Elma Meadows, Sheridan, but Glen Oak was a different category. It was on par with private clubs. So if you didn't go to Glen Oak, you had to go over the, you know, bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You go play in Canada, and the exchange rate allowed us to do it. I used to go go play a lot in Canada when Legends came on board,
yep,
and Thundering Waters, right?
There was a big boom in the 90s. Everybody was building
Grand
golf
Niagara
courses.
Was another one that got built. Yeah.
And then, late 90s, right, there was, you know.
Tiger.
The Tiger boom, right. This happened in Charlotte, too, North Carolina, when I lived there, too. And the first year, it was expensive to play all of them. Then they had so many courses, it weeded out and reduced prices. That's probably happened a little bit here. We're feeling, I think, some compression in the market with golf and with public. But what I want to say is if you're don't belong to a club and you play public facilities, Glen Oak is still one of the premier golf courses to play, period, here. Did I get that right, Jeff? You texted me.
You can go on and on, but go ahead.
I heard the director of golf over there is pretty good.
He's okay.
Yeah. Good looking.
That's why we're on radio.
You know, Glen Oak's still there, here, and what? I mean, Harvest, maybe in Orchard Park?
Yep. Hickory Stick.
Yeah, Stick up in Lewiston.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I'd say, you know, you four are in a category apart from other. I'm not trying to take away from other public facilities, but like the feel.
But
like you get treated like you're at a private club when you come.
Right, there's different markets for different golfers too.
Yes.
Not everybody wants that experience. Some people want to go to Oakwood and just walk around and play a short course for nine holes, you know. So and that's what's nice about what we have in our market. And it kind of creates itself after a while, you know, you find your niche in the industry, and they've got a nice niche out here at Ivy Ridge. He does a nice job. It's a nice facility. It is pretty up here, man. You drive up that entrance and his building. It's got a lot of nice stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like you get some nice highs and lows in this round. I was telling Jeff coming in, I said, the greens are a little bigger here than maybe at other facilities. You hit a lot of greens, so you feel good. But I said, don't look at maybe somebody how many three putts maybe I had more. So sometimes,
well,
too, because there are some times where you're putting, Kevin, might be over 100 feet sometimes.
Yeah, well, so you know, let's look at, this is 9 now, right, to my right?
I don't know.
It used to be 18.
Yes,
it used to be 18, now it's 9. And you look at that, that's a back right pin. That's so from the fairway on top of the hill there, you're looking down, all you see is bunker and flagstick, right?
Yeah.
There's water behind. So if you go for the front of the green, you're right. You've got easily a 70-footer.
But but this is a place more so than maybe others where the pin placement sheet and keeping track of your yardage and things like that, you know, well, it might be 140 to the green. Well, the pin's in the back. You know, that's to the center. Okay, well, maybe I really have like 155. Like it could be a change of a club or two or something like that.
Easy. And then if you have the wind, you can have some serious changes in club selection from 150 yards, from the 150-yard post there.
Yeah.
Yep. No doubt.
The other thing that's kind of cool is Don Nichols, he did it himself, right? You know, him and his family. And with Jim Fisk, who the general manager here, runs the place. But they moved the dirt. They designed
it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
cool.
It's pretty cool, right? Yeah. I mean, it took, you know, kind of a passion project that turned into this fabulous golf course. Really neat.
No doubt. 7:10 here the time on Tee to Green on WGR. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. So, yeah, we're happy to be here at the links at Ivy Ridge here today. Beautiful place. Some people are already off and playing, and I'm sure it'll be busy here on another gorgeous Saturday. The weather has just been phenomenal for golf. I know there's been, you know, a few raindrops with a couple quick storms here and there, but, I mean, the courses are in great shape now with how the weather's been over the summer and the rain. Jeff, I know you always say getting a little rain here and there is helpful. I know you don't want it maybe to dump at the rate it did, but, I mean, sometimes in late August like this, almost every course is burnt out. But I think, I mean, the courses that I've been playing are in beautiful shape. I was at Tanterra yesterday, and the course there is in phenomenal shape. And I think that echoes a lot. And again, let's give credit. The Supers have been working hard, but I think a lot of these courses now are in tip-top shape.
They are, and unfortunately now it becomes aerification season because you've put so much strain. You know, with Glen Oak, we're doing a lot of rounds every day, all that compaction. You're getting ready to aerify. I know a lot of the private clubs have already aerified. They did Monday.
Easterwood, they punched Monday on their greens.
Craigburn.
Played
Park.
Thursday, yeah. Yep.
But the nice thing is this time of year, this is great grass growing weather when it's cool at night like this and sunny during the day, so they'll come back quickly. And that's why the courses are in great shape. You start to get these cooler nights. It's good for the grasses. It's easier to control things.
When do you decide to aerify?
When do you decide?
Yeah, I know, like I said, Drew Thompson out of East Aurora, mm-hmm. They did it on Monday. And I kind of played there Thursday, and it was in excellent shape. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you could tell, but, you know, they still rolled pretty true. I know other clubs and other spots are waiting until we get a little bit into September.
Yeah, it's a financial decision. It's a golf decision. You usually put that on your calendar early in the season. This is the optimum time. Late August is the optimum time to do it because you get 100% healing. Because once you do that, now that grass has time to grow. So you get that great fall golf when the greens are healed completely. You can still do that through September and have that achieved. But this is the optimum time. That's why you see a lot of private clubs do it. Public facilities, hey, you're giving up a week of revenue right now in a prime season right before kids go back to school and things start to slow down, so you wait a little longer. But you still get good results. Most places, you'd want to aerify twice a year, ideally, to keep that thatch layer down. So most places just do it once or so, and then there's other options now in the market, in the industry. As a matter of fact, I went to Craigburn this week to check out. They had a new system that they used to get their top layer firmed up at Craigburn, as if they need that. Yeah.
Yeah, but they have machines now that do it instead of those sandals with the spikes on it.
Right, yeah. There's a machine that injects sand into your surface with water, and it leaves very little damage.
Oh. The damage, pretty neat. I remember, I mean, just what, a decade ago, the aerification machines made big holes.
Well, you still do that because you want to.
But some of them now, I feel like they're a little more pinhole size.
Well, there's different types of verification. Yeah, you still want to pull cores once a year. You want at least once a year. You want to get that core out of there. The big holes you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's also solid tining where you just take it's like a pin or a pen and you jam it in. Yeah. There's bayonets that look like a bayonet, and then there's these sand injection systems. There's multiple ways, and they serve different purposes depending on what your greens need. You know, some people we need to get rid of thatch. Some people need to firm it up. You know, whatever it is you need to do to help your putting surfaces, and there's a lot of stress on there. Because all that, everything going on with the grass, so you need to do it to relieve the grass a little bit and give it some room to grow, if it makes sense.
Yeah, when I lived in North Carolina, we had to do that to our yards. Oh. And remember the first time, you know, guys come around, hey, air fryer. I'm like, what do you mean air fryer? You do it to greens. He's like, well, no, we do it. He goes, you must be a Yankee. Because down here we have to do it. I'm like, okay, sure. Yep. And I talked to a neighbor, and they're like, yeah, no, you need to do it down here because of the clay or whatever. I'm like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
So.
But, it has to be done. It's, you know, it's a necessary evil of the golf industry. But, it's usually later in the season. It's kind of the portends of the fall coming, though, which is a good sign.
And I always think that's one of the great, you know, it's one of the musts of a golf course. Your greens have to be excellent, right? Yeah. I mean, you've got to have great greens in good shape, right?
I mean, playing surfaces.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously the rest of the golf course, but, you know, if you had to pay attention to one thing, you want to keep your greens.
And they're the most labor-intensive and cost, you know, it's not.
They're expensive, right?
They're expensive, yeah. I always tell the juniors, yay. A lot of people think it's fake grass, you know, when they first come to a golf course because they're so nice. And you explain, hey, if you damage this, that lasts for a long time. So It is how people judge your facility, basically, because that's, you know, if you're rolling the ball and it's bouncing and slow and it's, you know, they're not pleasing to look at, that's how people judge your facility.
That's right. TD Green here on WGR at the Links at Ivy Ridge. We're happy to be with us here today. TD Green presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Michelob Ultra Custom Turf. Speaking of Custom Turf, we'll speak with Steve Beatty from Custom Turf next week. And our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantera, and Briarwood. We'll get our Western Europe PGA Tip of the Week here coming up in just a moment. FedEx Cup playoff stuff?
Our TD Green challenge today after the show is going to be from the patio over here to the
ninth green.
That whole location.
I'm sure those people that are playing the early front nine right now will appreciate that.
They, listen, all for good content.
That's right.
It is for good
content. Look at the sun now coming in. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, and I'll remind you, I have the lead.
Just why I'm surprised that you're interested in not holding the lead by not playing. But
right.
But Kevin, any true competitor you don't mind playing it.
I'm looking to pad the lead here. Listen, I'm like Brooks Koepka.
You're gonna put the hammer
down. All right,
down
perfect
now.
Segue here.
But I'm not gonna pose nude for today's shoot.
No. The social media rumors this week about the Tee to Green version of the body issue coming out.
Yeah.
We're here to defuse that. It's not gonna happen.
Well, not till 2021.
We have the blobby issue, not the body issue.
That's right.
Which, did you see all these photos of Koepka?
Like, I did, unfortunately. Some of them, yes.
You can't unsee it.
Yes.
That's right.
Now, listen, believe me, yes, we'd all like to look like Brooks Koepka, and I'd rather play like Brooks Koepka than look like Brooks Koepka.
Me too.
But whatever.
Yes.
Overall, and I get it, if I look like Brooks Koepka, I'd walk around nude too. All right? Remember Greg Norman did it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
that was embarrassing.
It was. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was awkward.
Well, in one sense, it was. He's wearing the shark, you know, signature cap. That to me was goofy. However, when I looked at it, I'm like, geez, I wish I looked like that now. And Norman was 60. Like he's ripped for a 60-year-old, right?
Know.
But you look at some of these Koepka shots, and I'm just like really, we got to see his bare ass hitting out of a bunker, right? I mean, that was just
Yeah, the problem is people emulate him, you know, because he's a superstar.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I get what they're doing, you know, like to show the muscular. I mean, these athletes, their bodies are works of art. You think back when, art history here, right? You know, Statue of David, it's all about human body, the human form, capturing it. And I think that's what they're doing. And these are some of the best in-shape bodies in the world that they put in the ESPN body issue.
When I see him in his Nike shirt, though, I can see his arms are jacked. I don't need him to take his shirt off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, good transition here.
We digress.
Let's talk a little FedEx Cup playoffs here. Koepka just doing what he does, playing great, 67-67. He's in the lead at the Tour Championship. I put out a video on Tuesday, by the way, or on Thursday, just kind of explaining. I know the format this year is different. Here's the quick version for those of you who just maybe you'll tune in this weekend to the Tour Championship. It's the final event of the FedEx Cup playoffs. They're down to the final 30. But it's a different format than in previous years. Justin Thomas came into the week first in points. So what they did was, instead of having him have a certain number of points, they just adjusted his score, kind of like a handicap. So they put Thomas at minus 10 to start the week since he was in first. Patrick Cantlay came into the week in second. They put him at minus 8. Koepka came into the week third in points. They put him at minus 7 and so forth, all the way down to the guys that were in 30th. They started the tournament at even. So a lot of research has been done over years of the tournaments in terms of just, you know, where was the appropriate gap to put everybody at, the gap from first to last. And Thomas started the week in the lead, but right now it's Koepka who's in the lead at 13 under par. I'll run through the full leaderboard in a little bit here when we get our PGA Tour leaderboard. But it's great. The top three right now, Koepka, 13 under, Thomas and McIlroy at 12 under. So we're going to have a phenomenal
What else do you want?
Weekend here. You've got Koepka, Thomas,
want
McIlroy.
Tiger. That's what they
want. Yeah, no Tiger, no Phil, no Jordan Spieth. So some of the bigger names aren't there. But, I mean, those are three of the biggest names in the world right now at the top. And it should shape up for an outstanding weekend here with $15 million top prize.
So
on the line.
If I understand it correctly, the winner gets $15
million. Yes.
That's $50 million bonus.
Right. In an annuity.
In addition to whatever the tournament pays out. Yes.
Imagine a four-footer for $15
million. Yeah, I know.
Now how about second place? Oh, you lost, but you got a $5 million bonus.
You lose $10 million. Or you can win five.
Right
look
now,
at it whatever way.
Lucas Glover can just go hack it around and he'll get $500,000.
For finishing last, right?
That's for finishing 30th.
In the event. Yeah, yes. Making it to the final 30.
Because that's where he is right now. He's plus eight. He looks like he's on his way to finishing in 30th.
Yeah, the guy's had a great year. I'm sure he's very, he started even. He's had two rounds.
But the way they worked it out, these are the best players. These have been the most exciting players this year.
Let me disagree with that real quick. Because what they've done is they have made it. They've made the playoffs.
It's been playoff heavy, I think.
Well, yeah, but they want to emulate other sports.
This is NASCAR based.
This is a little behind the curtain here. They wanted to do what other sports do and emulate what you have in the playoffs. So you certainly have the best teams each year in football. They win their divisions, right? So let's say those are
major.
They
get their byes. They get their home games. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they might get a bye, or they might have to play a wildcard team, and they can get beat. Mm-hmm. In the playoffs. That's the whole point of the playoffs. So people are complaining, well, why aren't Tiger and Shane Lowry in here? They each won majors. It's not how it works. By winning majors, they helped accumulate points to get into the playoffs, to get into the postseason.
Yep.
They didn't win every game and every tournament, and they got in there, and they essentially got beat, didn't make the championship, didn't make the Super Bowl.
Right.
A chance to win that. And, Billy Horschel, I thought, was great on social media. This is a guy who won the FedEx Cup, and he just said, hey, for those who want to see Tiger and Shane Lowry, the answer is simple. It's the same answer for me. Play better. Yeah. It's the playoffs. Anything can happen, and that's what they've created. So I think that's
17-0 Patriots that lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, right? They didn't win it that year.
So you look at a guy, Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed, the guys who won the first two playoff events. They didn't win this year. Mm. Justin Thomas had an injury but came back from injury, and all of a sudden he's got a chance to win the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup.
I do like the format, though. I do think that you earn something in the final event by playing good in the playoffs and playing good all year. You accrue those points. And I think if you'd asked them 3 or 4 weeks ago if your top three going into the weekend were these three, I think the PGA Tour would have been pretty darn happy.
Now, the only thing, Rory McIlroy had he's actually he and Brooks Koepka are great for golf and comments for golf. They're embracing the role as top players and not afraid to make comments. And Rory's comment was, is this the best thing? Well, maybe major winners ought to get 1,000 points instead of 600. Mm-hmm. So, if they're weighted that, why are they weighted just 100 points more than than the Wells Fargo Championship, for example? So, Jay Monahan, the commissioner, he is receptive to what players have to say.
He's an innovative thinker. They'll tinker with it again, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they have a players council. They'll look at it. Jordan Spieth has been on that council. He's a guy who hasn't made it to the Tour Championship 2 years in a row. So I'm sure they'll look at it and say, okay, you know what? You've got a decent point there where the majors, perhaps they're worth much more than just 100 points more.
They'll tinker with it, I'm sure. But I think the two major reasons that they did this, A, to help the golfer on the course, and probably just more importantly, even the viewer, know where everybody stands. The confusing point system of, okay, this guy's now here. Well, what does that mean in terms of the points? Where does it, they're on the course. They don't know that. Now the viewer, just as important, knows where everybody stands. And twofold, I think, yes, it was exciting that Tiger won last year, but they want the winner of this event to win the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Correct.
They don't want last – if you remember last year, Tiger won the Tour Championship, and that was a storyline in itself. But Justin Rose quietly won the FedEx Cup playoffs and last year, $10 million prize. So they want it to be the guy that wins at the end. They can roll out the big check and the big trophy too not have, quote, two winners.
Well, you look at it, Tiger was the story last year. The tournament – here's the tournament winner.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, here's a FedEx Cup. No, and that's the way it should be. And what they've also created is everybody who went in to the tournament, the top 30, you have a chance to win. Granted, Jeff's 10 under par. Justin Thomas is 10 under par going into it. And Lucas Glover's got to play better than Thomas. Thomas got to come back a bit. But at least you know.
Right.
Everybody knows. Where is the old system would be like, okay, well, if you're 30th, the leader, Justin Rose, has to finish 20th, and you've got to – the three other guys got to finish in the bottom 10. It was tough.
But look at – if you're 30th, you're probably happy you made it. And if you say, look, the guy that's now won, you got to try to gain 2.5 strokes around on him over 4 days. That makes up the 10 right there. Like, that doesn't seem horrendous. Like, it's a tall task, and there's no doubt. But the guy that's in first has obviously earned that position too. But it's not impossible. It's not like two rounds or one round. It's four rounds. So, I mean,
correct.
The opportunity is there. Is it likely? Not really, but you're in 30th. So, you know, I think that they've got it set up. I think the scoring is pretty good. I think you're right. I think maybe they'll tinker with the point system going in, so maybe different players will end up being in. But nevertheless, here, let's take a break. More on the FedEx Cup playoffs when we return. We'll get our Western or PGA tip of the week. Also, for all of you listening, all of you that are listening, I'm sure you're golfers. Think about this going to break. Brooks Koepka was asked about playing a random fan this week. Over four rounds at Eastlake, how many strokes would you need to beat Koepka?
He said a 15 handicap.
He gave,
right?
Yeah, 15 handicap. But whatever your handicap is, think about how many strokes you would need against Koepka over four rounds at Eastlake. Remember, you're playing the tips.
Yeah, and it's right? Eastlake. Yeah.
Calculate that. We'll talk about that when we return. Also, Tiger on what he does on the driving range. And more good stuff from Phil Mickelson on social media. Every day, he is so good. More coming up. We're happy to be at the Links at Ivy Ridge. The sun is out. Beautiful setting here on the patio. With PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Koziel, Derek Kramer producing back at our Amherst studio. More Tee to Green from the Links at Ivy Ridge right after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Time for a check of the PGA Tour leaderboard, brought to you by Encore Golf, Buffalo's Golf Ball, and by Donald Ross, the world's finest golf apparel, and by New Era Golf, headwear engineered to perform that never sacrifices style.
If you were to grab a random fan out of the stands on the first tee, under this new format, they're playing Brooks Koepka over 72 holes, how many strokes would they need?
They'll need a lot. I don't know. Man, you figure maybe the average guy, what, is it 15 handicap? You figure 75 maybe? I think that'd be probably about the right number. This golf course isn't easy. There's a lot of water. You put it in the rough, you can make some numbers. Yeah, if you went out the first day and shot 62 on them, I think they'd be pretty nervous. It'd be interesting to see how quickly that dwindled down.
All right, there's Brooks Koepka. Yeah, you're going to, if you're a 15 handicap listening, Koepka's giving you 75 strokes. I'm betting on Koepka.
Yeah, it's not enough.
No.
I can tell you that right now.
Because
not nearly enough.
He's got to be a plus 7 or a plus 8.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think at one point this summer he was a plus 7 or plus 8 when I saw that they'll have his handicaps. So you're a 15 handicap. You play him 18 holes, that's, 8 shots. It's 23 shot difference right there.
Times 4 rounds.
Yeah. So.
It should be in the 90s. 100. If you said take a 15 handicap, 100 strokes versus Koepka, I'm still betting Koepka because the 15 handicap doesn't play
15,
from those tees
right.
that they're playing at there, doesn't putt on those greens, doesn't maybe have to play every single lie the way it is. Like, it's just I'm still with 100 strokes would take Koepka over the 15 handicap.
I tell you, I would need 80. I'm a 7 handicap right now. I would need 85 against Koepka to have a chance. You're like, 85, that sounds ridiculous. But I'm going to tell you why. I've played two courses from the tips that PGA Tour events have been played at. One was Oak Hill. I played Oak Hill from the tips once. Many years ago, my handicap was 10 at the time. I shot 91 from the tips. Oak Hill, that rough. let's go to a tour course, you know. But actually, the way East Lake's set up, it's set up, you know, the rough. I played Kapalua the day after the tournament of champions this year, this past year, and I shot 91 from the tips, 7,500 yards.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I was happy. Because you're right, the lines are different, the distances are different, the pressure playing Koepka. Yeah, 50
and
handicapper,
and I
was factoring 85. I'm figuring he's shooting 200 par every day.
Right.
He might shoot a 65.
Correct. There's going to be a round in there where he does shoot a 65. Yeah, I mean, 100 strokes against the 15 handicap, I'm still betting Koepka every time. And you said there's pressure. You're not used to the conditions these guys are playing under.
I mean, you're going to be hitting first every time.
Oh.
Right? You're hitting first.
You might
every
be hitting
time.
Second sometimes. You might be hitting your second shot before he hits it.
Oh, especially a 15. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And,
right.
And then it gets complicated once you get near the greens. Yeah. The greens are firmer, faster, hard. Yeah. Those 4-footers are a lot harder when the greens are rolling at 12 and a half.
That's right.
Than they are at 9 or 10.
I played around with Dudley Hart once over at CCB. And we filmed it. This was for TV. I said, can we do it? And it was night and day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it was just like to play with a tour player and see what they do. Hey, go play with your club pro and see how well they hit the golf ball.
I think Dudley averaged like 66 at CCB this summer or something, I heard. Something crazy like that.
And
he's struggling on the senior tour.
Yeah. Last year
he shot 69 the day we played Jeff, and it
was a bad day, I guarantee.
Yeah. You could tell he wasn't on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year at the Peak and Peak Pro Am when I played with Sebastian Munoz, who now is on the PGA Tour and has made it another year. Congrats to him. But I mean, you're right. Like, just playing with him, I'm like, this guy is phenomenal.
But you weren't playing the same tees either.
No. Right. You're right. He was at the tips. We moved up.
Right.
And look at Munoz now is a fringe PGA Tour player, but he made it again. But think about that. I mean, again, he's not even at Koepka level still.
This a really good follow is at Monday Q on Twitter, and they'll give you all the stats and numbers of these guys. They show scores of guys who don't shoot above 67 in a Monday qualifier.
Or can't make it.
And you can't get through a Monday qualifier. You know, it's you can shoot 12 67s in a row and be 50th.
I wanted to mention at our leaderboard, Donald Ross, just their Vegas show, they have pants coming out next year.
Oh,
that's going to be life-changing. That's all I'm going to say.
For our show apparel.
Yes, I think Tee to Green logo pants.
I'm ready.
Ooh. Okay.
The green, I'm excited. For our green and blue color scheme, I like it.
I'm kind of a khaki guy. Yeah, I can match my
clothes. We could probably get you. You are a khaki guy for sure.
I agree.
You're more. You're like Jim Harbaugh khaki guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Jim Harbaugh's making $10 million a year coaching, but he's buying the Dockers at Walmart, right?
I'm not wearing Dockers.
No, you have great
foot
golf professional pants. That's right.
All
right, our PGA Tour leaderboard. It's the final event of the season, the Tour Championship. Brooks Koepka, we've obviously talked quite a bit about him. He's your leader going into the weekend at 13 under par. He'll be paired with Justin Thomas in the final group today at 3:20. Thomas is one shot back at minus 12. Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele are in the second last group. McIlroy, one off the lead at minus 12. Schauffele at minus 11. What a great top group there. Koepka, Thomas, McIlroy, Schauffele. Other names of note, you got Paul Casey, four off the lead at minus 9. Then it jumps to Cantlay at minus 7. A group at minus 6, including Patrick Reed. Adam Scott, the lone golfer, at minus 5. Rahm and Finau at 4. And it trickles down some of the other bigger names of note. Fowler is at even. Rose is at even. Dustin Johnson, a very disappointing first 2 days for him. He is at plus 2. There's only 30 in the field. There is no cut. Glover, as Kevin mentioned, is in 30th right now at plus 8. But what a trio at the top. Koepka, Thomas, McIlroy. Is there anybody not from those three that's going to win this, Kevin? My bet would be it's one of those three.
Yeah, it's one of those three.
Right.
How about Schauffele?
You know, here's my thing. I was just thinking about Schauffele, right? And for Xander Schauffele, I'm thinking he's looking at $15 million. Like he's had a great early success in his career, but I mean, at this stage, if he could bank a $15 million annuity, boom, it puts him on another level.
Oh
true.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So for the other three guys, I mean, I'm not saying it's not something, but they make $15 million off the course. You know what I'm saying? Like in endorsements, appearances, and all that stuff. So
yeah, I think they're trying to win, though. You know what I mean? I know you think about that. I mean, it may enter your mind, but he's got stones, and he plays. I like watching him play a lot. That's
he'll
for
be
sure.
I think he's got to stay in position today. Tomorrow is I just remember watching what he did at Kapalua, the final round, where he was three back of Gary Woodland. Woodland went out and shot 5 under par with a 3-shot lead and lost because Xander Schauffele shot a 62.
Yeah,
in the group in front of him. And so the kid's got it. It's kind of a neat story, too. His father's his coach, the swing coach. His father was not a golfer, pro golfer, whatever. But, you know, his father was an athlete. And I was going to say track and field. But, you know, his father's out there coaching him, and, you know, he's actually more stone cold than Koepka is, believe it or not.
Yeah, he's
going to win a major.
He's tough. He doesn't.
That kid is.
He handles pressure.
He's fun to watch. Fun to watch.
But I just think, I think it's going to be Thomas or Koepka.
Yep.
One of those two.
7:38 here on Tee to Green. Brian Colesfield, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. We're at the links at Ivy Ridge. Players out here on the first tee area and the putting green. We've been tweeting out some pictures. Kevin, Jeff, and I have this morning. Check out just the beautiful setting here at the links at Ivy Ridge in Akron. We mentioned the leaderboard. One player of note that I want to bring up next, Bryson DeChambeau. He's tied for 20th, minus one. Not really in contention at the moment, but DeChambeau has been the headliner for what has been a continuing discussion on pace of play over the last few months or so on the PGA Tour. We've talked about it quite a bit here on Tee to Green. But interesting this week, a Golf Digest writer followed DeChambeau around for the course for all 18 holes and put a stopwatch on every single one of his shots. And
bet he was happy to have that assignment.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Bob, it's your editor calling. I got an assignment for you.
Yeah. Get your stopwatch right. Yes. Yeah. So he was put on the clock for every single one because DeChambeau's point after he got ripped for taking 2.5 minutes basically to go over a 15-foot putt was that, well, I'm quicker in between shots and I walk faster and that should allow me more time.
He does walk faster than most. He is correct in that.
So they went. So the Golf Digest article went through and timed him. And it says that he played with Chev Zrivi in the opening round, who, of note, is a quicker player.
See his ace yesterday?
Yeah, he had a great round, 64 awesome. Yesterday. Zrivi did. DeChambeau played his tee box shots after it was his turn, after Zrivi had hit, somewhere in the 25 to 30-second range from the time when he put the ball in the ground, from the time that contact was made with the ball.
That's fine.
So that seems fine. Average over 18 holes, 31.5 seconds.
Fine.
Zrivi, who's a faster player, 27.5.
There are a lot of factors there.
That's his tee shots.
That's 4 seconds. Yep. Like, all right, we are splitting hairs there.
Let me give you the rest that you can comment on. The approach shots, DeChambeau, a lot of times was the second player to hit because he was longer than Zrivi, was an average of 44 seconds in the fairway. Now, around the green, this is maybe where it did go up. From 50 yards and in, it went up to 47 seconds. And then around the green, it averaged around 50 seconds. But he had some times where he approached a minute and a half before he would stand up over putts. So that's kind of the breakdown. I mean, there's so much data in this article. I'm not going to read every single piece. But so it obviously increased as he got closer to the green, I guess, is the trend.
That's not a shock for any golfer to me. And those numbers don't sound ridiculous at all.
But it's
the bar is 40 seconds, though. Right, Jeff, officially the bar is 40 seconds.
Yeah, but that's a slow bar, though.
Okay, but
what would you want it to be if you were approached to make the tour rules here? What would you say?
I'd put a 25-second shot clock on him. You know,
you think 20?
Yeah, it's plenty. It's almost a half a minute to hit a shot. I don't think what that's not factoring is, well, is he ready to hit when it's his turn?
That's
true. Is he walking up to the
green? It's when he addresses the ball.
Right.
He's got time in between to do all this.
Did he march 75 yards up to the green to look at the pin and then pace it off himself and come back? And then once he goes through his routine, it might be faster. Right. But it's the stuff in between, I think, that's slowing him down.
Yeah, if he is standing behind a putt, you know, he takes a long time to line up his putt. Like, is that standing over the putt a minute and a half? Because that would be a long time to stand over a putt to stroke a ball.
Yeah.
To me, it's it's my turn. I'm going to wait now to go to the other side of the cup and walk around. I'm going to walk around the other side again. I mean, listen, they have a lot at stake here. But those times don't sound ridiculous. Jeff's point is spot on. It's okay. While you're second to hit, while Ches Reavie's hitting his approach shot, you know, you're looking in the book. You already know the distance. You should know, right? You should have an idea. Okay, it's going to be a 7 or an 8. Yeah. And then you get up there like, what do you think? The wind? Okay, let's go with a 7. Boom.
You know, and then guys get called off or, you know, they go have to start the routine over if they got rabbit ears or whatever.
There's gallery movement that throws guys off. Yeah.
But based on what we talk about, for the foursome that's going out to play this weekend here too, there's so many things, Jeff, when it's not your turn that you can do to help improve pace of play. When it's not your turn.
People would be just going insane behind you if it was a minute and a half to hit a putt and stuff while they're waiting in the fairways. Yeah.
Wednesday night. I'm going to yell that for saying this, but I'm going to say it. Wednesday night in our league. I was getting texts from the guy two groups behind me because there were two holes. The group behind us were two holes behind.
Oh, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It only takes one person.
It was ridiculous. And you're supposed to, if you're behind a hole, you're supposed to have the hole and get back in position. Mm. So the final group teed off at 5:50 p.m. What time did they finish? 9 holes. What time do you think they finished? 5:50 p.m.
5:50, 6:50. They should be done by...
Is this a 9-hole thing, right?
9-hole.
7:45. I know they didn't.
Even if it's 2:15 or 2:20, I mean, should be done by 8. I'm sorry, yeah.
8:05-ish?
Yeah, by 8.
It's dark at 8:30.
Yeah,
that's what time I saw the guy who's in the final group walk in for a beer.
Oof.
Yeah.
So that's almost 3 hours for 9 holes. Oof.
That's tough.
It was, I was thinking, I'm like, thank God I wasn't behind him.
Yeah.
In that group, yeah.
And as a golf administrator, it's tough to
right. I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah. It's on the players.
That's right.
You know? And then what do you do is if you're playing in that group, say, guys, come on, we got to move faster. I guess you have to, right? But then you're getting in an adversarial situation, right? It's supposed to be a friendly thing.
Sometimes it's a lost ball situation or it's a tough day for someone. And you can understand that, but you still got to keep moving.
Yep.
Yeah. I just don't who enjoys playing slow?
Yep. I know.
Here's
the thing. People don't know that they are slow. That's the thing.
It's awareness.
I'm pretty sure these guys know they're slow.
Yeah, but if you say something.
Brian, if you don't see
Kevin,
two holes ahead of you, you're slow.
You know because we've been in conversations. People are more insulted if you say they're slow than if, stunk at golf today. People are more insulted by that.
Oh, yeah. We had the Michelob Ultra winners out there yesterday. Ken, Scott, and Chris. Great guys, by the way. And we played at Fox Valley. So we were one shot out of position, and I let the group behind us through. There were three. I apologize. Sorry, guys. I know we're one shot out of position, meaning the group ahead of us was on the green. We just teed off. We should be waiting to hit our approach shots.
Well, the famous saying is that you go to talk to a group. Hey, it's a little slow out here today. Hey, no, it isn't. We haven't waited all day. No kidding. That's why it's slow. Yeah.
Yeah. You should. Maybe, how long should you be waiting to hit your next shot?
Well,
talking in position, meaning, all right, the group just took off after hitting their approaches. You should be teeing off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's hard to put a number on it, but, just keep up with the group in front of you.
Yeah, you shouldn't be standing in the fairway, hands on hips, waiting to hit your approach shot, but you should be ready. Okay, they've cleared. They're off the green, in their carts, moving. Okay, now we can hit.
If it's a par 4 and they're on the green and you're on the tee, you're behind.
All right, before we go to break here, our absolute care check of the PGA Champions Tour report brought to you by Absolute Care, affordable adult assisted living. This week, the Champions Tour players are playing in the Boeing Classic, and Fred Funk is your leader through one round, -8. Fred Couples, who had a good week last week down at Endicott, he finished second last week at the Dick's Sporting Goods Open. Couples one off the lead, maybe trying to go second place, first place this week. So Couples back playing, and Bernhard Langer two off the lead.
Weird.
Always involved. That's right. There's your look at our Absolute Care Champions Tour report. Okay, when we come back from the links at Ivy Ridge, we'll get Jeff's Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. There's some fescue here at the links at Ivy Ridge. We'll talk about how to hit a shot out of the fescue. Also, what does Tiger do on the driving range before his tournament rounds? And Phil Mickelson with another couple of great posts this week on social media. We'll try to squeeze all that in here. One more segment to go on Tee to Green with Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. I'm Brian Colziel. Derek Kramer producing back in Ramhurst Studios. Thanks for listening to Tee to Green. Back with more right after this.
Listen up, golfers. Here comes the Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond.
Back here on Tee to Green, live at the Links at Ivy Ridge, it is time for our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. Since we're at Ivy Ridge, there's some fescue grass you might end up with here, and we welcome you back, Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. Jeff, I know Kevin and I would never end up in the fescue, but for maybe others that would.
Yes.
How do you handle hitting out of the fescue? I mean, you're seeing your ball. Let's just say it's not, you know, obviously the lie might determine it, but let's just say we'll say it's a hittable lie. Mm-hmm. But that grass is going to catch your backswing and your swing coming in. Like, what are some of the things to think about?
First of all, loft. You want to have more loft than you might imagine. So if you're thinking it's a 9-iron, take a pitching wedge. So you want to have more loft. That helps get the ball ejected out of that tall grass quicker. And the hosel will tend to get grabbed by the grass. So I actually will squeeze a little tighter with my left hand there and try to make sure that that club head doesn't flip closed, because that's what causes the bad shot. So that hosel gets grabbed by the grass, that blade closes, and that club face shuts right down, and that ball stays in the junk. This stuff is, I don't know if it's actually fescue. It's fescue type grass. It's actually native grasses here. I think it's fescue over in the aisles or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a little more wispy. Yeah, so make sure you have enough loft and work on, I like to open the blade even a little bit more because it does tend to close, and that's where the bad shot comes from, when you get it to shut down the hosel and you keep it in there. You got to get it out. First shot, get it out of the stuff. Take your medicine, move it down, make your par with a wedge or something like that. You know, don't try to hit a hero shot out of there. I've seen guys take hybrid three woods in there. I can get a three wood on it. No, you can't. Yeah.
No, that's,
and the other thing is steeper. I'm sorry, you get steeper. Yeah. You don't want to have a nice, I talk about shallow paths for most of the time. This is where you want to have that club coming down onto that golf ball so it doesn't get wrapped up with as much grass.
You want the least amount coming in of grass that you can grab, right?
Right, yeah. So you don't want a wide, shallow path into the ball. That's why you take a shorter club with more loft. You'll actually come in a little steeper. Move it back in your stance a little bit. A lot of things to help hit the ball first.
And this is where you can take a minute and a half, because you should look at your options, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes forward's not always the best option.
Nope.
Sideways, or maybe even whatever the I always look at it, all right, what can I get the club on, and what's my clearest path to get out of trouble here?
And you can't hit it as far as you think all the time. Plan on it coming up a lot shorter. Get it back in play. It's the, you know, take your medicine type of thing. But try not to let that blade shut down on you and take more loft.
But I mean, I think that's great advice about the taking less club, taking your medicine. Like, most of the time, it probably is going to occur. You hit your drive into it, and you might not be able to reach the green here. But put yourself in a spot where you can still, if you're trying to go for a par, keep par in play here. Put it back in a spot where your third shot allows you to maybe have that par putt that you can, or, you know, whatever your goal is on the hole.
Exactly. Keep par in play. And you can't hit a 7-iron out of this stuff. I don't care who you are. You're not hitting a 7-iron out of this tall, long grass. It's hard to do unless you had that blade wide open and you hit a great lie.
That's right. All right, a few minutes left here from the Links at Ivy Ridge on Tee to Green. Good advice there with our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. If you want to find out any information about getting yourself into the game, your son, your daughter, your dad, anybody, your mom, anybody, go ahead and check out all the information, WNYPGA.com. They've got events, things you can sign up for, clinics, lessons, everything is at that website.
Yeah, a lot of people are still taking lessons. You know, there's still a lot of golf season left. You know, we're going to be playing through November here.
Absolutely. Tiger Woods.
Amen to that.
That's right. Talking this week about practice routines before he plays in a tournament, and said that one of his things he talks about in the episode of his My Game show that was on, that how he doesn't really beat balls at tour events. Like, he doesn't go to the range and just hit balls. He said, I'm saving my, you know, grinding shots for the tournament when I'm really focusing my best. But one thing he did say that I thought was pretty cool is that he said he tries to at least hit all the different kinds of shots before his tournament. So he says it's the tic-tac-toe board. Mm-hmm. If you can picture it, everybody can picture, I'm sure, a tic-tac-toe board. He says, I try to go through and basically play tic-tac-toe with myself and say, okay, I'm going to hit this shot. I'm trying to hit it center. You know, okay, I hit it. Now I'm going to try and go right corner. Now I'm going to try and go upper left corner and try to make tic-tac-toe. And essentially then he tries to fill in all the shots at some point. But I mean, you can have fun with it that way if you want to have a little game for yourself on the range. But I think it's kind of a cool idea. Instead of going there and saying, I'm just going to smash my driver 100 times, give yourself a visual tic-tac-toe board and try to see what you can fill in.
I know a lot of players that do that. And when he's hitting that right low one, it's a low hook.
Yeah.
And then it's a medium height hook. And then it's a high hook. And then there's a straight high, straight bullet, straight low, fade. So that, and when you can do that, you know your swing's on plane in balance. If you can't hit all those shots, there's something amiss in your swing where you can't, you know, hit the fade or you can't hit the draw. So that's what's good about that. And it gives you, you know, you're going to be on the golf course. You're going to have to hit all these shots. So it is a great way to warm up. I know a ton of people that emulate that. He's been doing that for a long, long time.
Yeah. Speaking of Tiger, he appeared on one of the latest Fireside Phil chats on his social media thing.
Sort of.
Did you see it?
Yeah. Yes.
Tiger appeared on the tablet with a couple of different phrases, and Phil talked with him about their matchups one-on-one. Hilarious. I'll retweet it right now if you didn't see it, but it's just hilarious. Phil talking with his guest, Tiger, who's on a tablet.
Yeah, just a picture of him on the
iPad. Just a picture of Tiger. He's got a picture of Tiger smiling and then a picture of Tiger
swiping
the photo back and forth. I mean, these things are just, they're so great.
Phil is good.
They're really, really good.
He's only been on a year on Twitter.
I know.
Or something, right?
Yeah. His latest tweet yesterday, there's a picture of him poolside, also with his shirt off,
tell you what,
holding a bottle of wine. And he said, I'd love to be competing at East Lake right now, but I'm sipping wine from a 1985 bottle here poolside, working on my tan and spending time on social media. It isn't also another bad way to spend the week either. I mean, he gets it.
He's in shape now.
He is.
And he's funny.
People are replying to him on Twitter like, hey, how come Phil won't respond to me? And he's like, I don't know why, but he responds. You know, like he's clever with it, too.
Did you see the video the guy sent him? Hey, you made my daughter's day, the little girl I gave the ball to. It's like, I remember her. I actually retweeted and just said, you know what the cool? I watched it five times, and it took me the fifth time to notice the, like, 68-year-old guy who reaches out to get a five from him and just kind of like, man, that was awesome. Like, so the little girl's jumping up and down. I'm like, that guy was jumping up and down inside, like Phil Mickelson giving him five, you know?
That's right. Hey, before we say goodbye here, Kevin, next week's show, if you're a Tee to Green Club member, you're going to want to listen to. And if you're not, you better sign up.
Yeah, if you're not, like, I don't understand why you wouldn't be. It's free.
If you're a golfer, yeah.
Yeah, teetogreen.golf. All right, that's where you go, teetogreen.golf.
What are we giving away next week?
We're giving away a Callaway stand bag
from
Michelob Ultra. So it's got Michelob Ultra's logo on it. It's another big giveaway. But listen, next week's our final show, but for Tee to Green members and for everybody, like, we're going to have a show each week in the off season. Newsletter will continue. We didn't get one out this week, but that's my fault, so my apologies there. But anyway, we're going year round with Tee to Green, just in the digital form. And I know plenty of guys want to win that golf bag.
That's right. So
yeah, we gave a lot of nice stuff away this week.
We're giving away that next week.
Great stuff. Thanks to our friends at Mick Ultra and some other corporate partners.
That's right. All right, that puts a wrap on our show here from the Links at Ivy Ridge. I want to thank Jim and everybody here for the warm hospitality and those peanut butter cookies, Kev.
Plural. Yeah. Plural.
No, I had one.
But you will have another one on the way out.
Well, yeah.
It's a long ride home.
So will I. That's right. Thanks to everybody for listening. Yeah, next week's our last show on WGR. We'll have our Tee to Green Club giveaway. Make sure you sign up, teetogreen.golf. Jeff, enjoy your week at Glen Oak.
Looking forward to it. Great day.
That's right, great weather. Enjoy your round this weekend as we get here to the last week of August. Hope you get yourself a round in. Thanks for being with us. Derek Kramer, thank you for your work back in our Amherst studios. For Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, I'm Brian Colziel. I'll tweet out the entire show. It'll also be up on our on-demand audio section at WGR550.com. From Ivy Ridge, we say goodbye. We'll talk to you next week right here on Tee to Green.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.